In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Here in this season of Epiphany, our first reading is a story of renewal and resurrection. Kind of like the renewal we anticipate with the coming of springtime and the brightening of our days. Now, as the story opens, Eli is the prophet who rules over Israel. Right? Eli lives in the temple, and whenever there are disputes among the people, they come to him and he settles them. Eli has ruled long over Israel. And Eli has done, as rulers have long done and still do, he has groomed his sons to take his place when he dies. But there's a problem. Eli's sons are notorious abusers of power. And Eli knows it. Eli's sons are known for stealing from the offerings that people bring to the temple. Eli's sons are known for taking advantage of the women who serve in the temple. His sons are known for doing all the bad things that religions get known for doing. Apparently, there's nothing new under the sun. And although Eli knew what his sons were doing, the text tells us that Eli was doing nothing to restrain them. And so no wonder we have such a grim opening to our reading today. We're told that the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. The faith at that time was a tired faith. It was a faith marked by the absence of God. It was an empty faith. And yet there were, right in our first sentence, seeds of renewal and resurrection. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. And so that's where our story gets moving, right? We have this whole setup, and then God calls out, "Samuel, Samuel!" And the boy responds, "Here I am." Hineni in Hebrew. This is a phrase you can find throughout scriptures. Here I am. This response of, "I'm listening, I'm paying attention." But Eli doesn't know anything about God. Samuel doesn't know anything about God. Instead, Samuel goes to Eli and says, "Here I am. You called me." Right? You remember this happened 3 times. Because Samuel did not know how to hear God's voice. Samuel was living in the temple. He was serving in the temple. He was sleeping in the temple. And yet, being in the temple all this time, Samuel had not learned how to pray. Samuel had not been taught how to hear God's voice. Samuel lived among these people practicing a religion that was so empty, so powerless, so devoid of meaning that apparently the older ones practicing that religion didn't even think it worthwhile to teach him. And as Samuel watched, there was nothing going on. Samuel didn't know how to listen for God's voice. The actual faith that that temple was supposed to encourage had nearly been lost. It had been reduced to empty forms and motions. And so when God calls to Samuel once and again and a third time, he doesn't know what's going on. He just goes to Eli and says, "What's up?" And finally, the third time, Eli says, "Huh, I've seen this before." He remembers way back when we did hear God's voice, when our religion did mean something. And so Eli, at that point, teaches Samuel just a little bit about how to pray, about how to listen for God's voice, how to respond to God. Eli begins to entrust Samuel with the content of the faith, not just the forms. So Samuel goes back and lies down again and God calls again because God is faithful. And Samuel responds, and God speaks to Samuel. Now, when God speaks to Samuel, they're not gentle words. They're not words of comfort and status quo and everything's okay. God speaks difficult words to Samuel, words that Samuel doesn't want to hear, words that no one else wants to hear. And God knows this, right? God says these words are going to make everyone's ears tingle who hears it. They're going to say, no, no, I don't want to hear it. And can you imagine the little boy Samuel being given this message for his mentor, his caretaker, his boss, Eli? God's words of condemnation, of the end of Eli's line, of how things are going to change and the rule is going to be taken away from Eli's family. And little Samuel is the bearer of this message. And what a terrifying thing that must have been. This is what prophecy is. This reminds me of why tomorrow we'll be celebrating the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who is often called a prophet. And what that means when we say that he was a prophet was that he spoke words that people did not want to hear. That he spoke courageous words. The Reverend Dr. King spoke about white supremacy and about poverty and about the Vietnam War. Words that made so many people uncomfortable. It took courage to speak, tremendous courage. Prophets often, often give their lives for their message. Samuel, likewise, is being called to utter a word of prophecy, a dangerous word of prophecy that's going to get him in trouble. But one other thing that really impresses me in this passage is Eli. Because Eli doesn't respond the way that you expect someone to respond to this kind of word of prophecy, the way that people always respond to this kind of word of prophecy. Instead, Eli hears Samuel's words, God's words spoken through Samuel. And Eli reaches deep down into that faith that has lain dormant in him. And he says, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Eli receives that word of prophecy. And that too is an amazing response. And maybe that's why our reading finishes this morning with good news. Our reading finishes by saying that all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The people began to understand that God was not through with Israel yet. That what had looked like death and staleness and impotence was only the fertile ground for renewal and resurrection. And when the old institutions, when Eli and his sons and the leadership had been failing, God did not fail, but God brought new life to Israel, to this worshiping community. And so as we celebrate Epiphany together here at St. Thomas, Epiphany is a reminder to us that God is not through with us. We can choose to be a part of what God is doing in our lives. Or we can choose to let God find others to do it, as Eli did. When we choose to be a part of what God's doing, to live into God's story, you know that that is going to involve death. Right? I mean, that's the center of our story as we talk about Jesus. And yet the promise is that when we are living in God's story, death is always the fertile ground for resurrection, for renewal, something good. New life is God's business. New life is God's purpose. New life is God's intention for you, for St. Thomas, and for any who will receive it. Amen.
Amen.